Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archery's podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, The Trillion Dollar Conspiracy, How the New World Order Man-Mated Diseases and Zombie Banks Are Destroying America is a nonfiction conspiracy theory book by Jim Mars, an investigative journalist known for challenging official explanations of major historical and political events. The book argues that America's economic distress, public health fears, and expanding government control are not isolated problems, but parts of a larger coordinated power structure. Mars combines commentary on finance, medicine, politics, and surveillance to present a broad critique of elite institutions and their influence over public life. Rather than offering a conventional policy analysis, the book frames current events through a distrust of centralized authority and multinational power. Its purpose is to persuade readers to question mainstream narratives and to look for hidden motives behind crises that appear accidental on the surface. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the book's central claim that crises are coordinated rather than accidental. The core idea of the book is that America's major troubles should not be understood as separate failures, but as interconnected outcomes of deliberate planning by powerful interests. Mars presents economic instability, social decline, and political manipulation as symptoms of a larger system in which government and corporate actors work together to weaken public autonomy. This framing is important because it changes how the reader interprets cause and effect recessions, regulation, bailouts, and public fear are not treated as random developments, but as tools within a wider strategy. The book's argument depends on connecting many different events into a single pattern of control. That makes the work distinctive within the conspiracy genre, since it attempts to unify finance, health, and politics under one explanatory lens. Even readers who reject its conclusions can see that the book is built around a consistent thesis of coordination, not isolated suspicion. Secondly, New World Order as a framework for global elite power. A major topic in the book is the idea of a New World Order, which Mars uses to describe a supposed effort by transnational elites to concentrate political and economic power at a global level. In this framework, national sovereignty is gradually reduced while decision-making shifts toward networks of corporations, banks, and unelected authorities. The value of this topic in the book is that it provides a broad political backdrop for the rest of the argument. It links local policy choices to international power structures and suggests that public institutions often serve hidden interests rather than democratic accountability. This theme also reflects a familiar pattern in conspiracy literature, the belief that visible leaders are only the surface layer of a deeper governing class. Mars uses the New World Order idea to interpret reforms, trade systems, and institutional cooperation as potential methods of control rather than neutral modernization. The result is a worldview in which power is centralized, opaque, and deliberately resistant to public oversight. Thirdly, man-made diseases and the politics of fear in public health. Another major thread in the book is the claim that disease can be used as a mechanism of control, whether through intentional creation, manipulation, or exploitation of health crises. Mars links pharmaceutical interests, medical institutions, and government policy into a system where fear of illness becomes profitable and politically useful. This section of the book is not simply about medicine. It is about how public vulnerability can be converted into social obedience and market gain. By placing disease inside a conspiracy framework, Mars suggests that health crises may justify surveillance, dependency, and expanded authority. The theme also extends the book's larger distrust of official expertise, since doctors, regulators, and public health agencies are treated as possible participants in a managed system rather than objective protectors of the public. Whether one accepts the claims or not, the argument is structured to make readers think about how emergency narratives can shape behavior, policy, and profit. That is one reason the book remains provocative. It reinterprets public health as a site of power, not only science. Fourthly, zombie banks and the critique of financial rescue policies. The book's discussion of zombie banks focuses on weak financial institutions kept alive by public support, especially bailouts and emergency interventions. Mars treats these banks as symbols of a broader economic system in which private losses are socialized while private gains remain concentrated. This topic matters because it moves the argument from abstract conspiracy toward concrete financial structure. The book suggests that economic collapse is not just a technical failure, but a consequence of systemic fraud, deregulation, and policy choices that protect large institutions. By using the term zombie banks, Mars emphasizes the idea of institutions that appear alive, but are fundamentally broken and sustained only through artificial support. That metaphor helps him argue that ordinary citizens bear the cost of elite misconduct. The discussion is less about specific banking mechanics than about power, accountability, and the political consequences of financial rescue. In the logic of the book, bailouts do not solve corruption. They preserve it and deepen public dependence on institutions that should have been reformed or allowed to fail. Lastly, A call for skepticism, independent research, and resistance to official narratives. Beyond its specific claims, the book functions as an argument for intellectual distrust of official explanations. Mars repeatedly encourages readers to question media reports, government statements, and institutional assurances, presenting independent investigation as a necessary civic habit. This is one of the most practical aspects of the book, because its real goal is not only to describe conspiracy, but to cultivate a mindset of suspicion toward concentrated authority. The book therefore operates as both a political critique and a reader manual for skepticism. At the same time, this approach creates a limitation: the broadness of the conspiracy framework can make the argument difficult to test or verify, especially when many claims depend on interpretation rather than direct evidence. Still, the book's emphasis on inquiry is central to its appeal. It invites readers to examine financial systems, public health messaging, and political rhetoric with greater caution. In that sense, the book's enduring importance lies in its challenge to passive acceptance, even for readers who remain unconvinced by its conclusions. In conclusion, The Trillion-Dollar Conspiracy is best suited for readers who are interested in conspiracy literature, alternative political analysis, and critiques of corporate and government power. It will also appeal to those who want to understand how distrust of institutions is expressed in contemporary nonfiction. The main benefit of reading it is not necessarily to accept its claims at face value, but to see how a wide range of social anxieties can be organized into a single explanatory narrative. Mars's book stands out in its category because it brings finance, public health, and political control together in one tightly linked argument, rather than treating them as separate concerns. That gives it a broader scope than many conspiracy titles, even if the breadth also makes it more controversial. Readers looking for a balanced, mainstream account may find it speculative, but readers seeking a forceful example of anti-establishment nonfiction will find it revealing. Its real distinction is the way it turns systemic distrust into a comprehensive worldview, making it a notable example of early 21st century conspiracy writing. If you would like to support Jim Mars, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.